Welcome back, everybody. This is Tom McNew again here on Armor of God Catholic Radio Network. What would Father say? We appreciate everybody joining us this morning or this afternoon, excuse me. Father John Gisaldo again joining us. Thanks, Father.
You are welcome. I always tell people this is the most important thing I do,
Well,
because I wasn't here.
we appreciate that. I'm not sure it's the most important thing you do, but I think some folks over at St. Luke would probably disagree, but that's all right.
That's
We
true.
appreciate you, your time. We
My
are going
pleasure.
to take some time this morning to or today to finish up our eighth commandment. For those of you who missed last week's episode, we did the first half, the first three sections, I guess you could say, of the eighth commandment. And so we will pick back up today here with, you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. And we're going to start here in section four with paragraph 2488.
Yes, this, I think this is very important, and it tempers people's belief that we must always speak the truth, but you have to be respectful of the truth. And I like what it says in the very first line, 2488, the right to communication of the truth is not, double negative, is not unconditional. That there are things that requires us concrete situations to judge whether or not it is appropriate to reveal the truth to someone who is asking for. So in other words, like with gossip, some gossip, there's two kinds of gossip. Slander, which is talking about people and saying things that are untrue, and then detraction, telling things about people that are true, but they don't need to know it. There's confidentiality, cases of confidentiality, respect for privacy and the safety and the common good, and reasons for being silent, to avoid scandal. No one is bound to reveal the truth to someone who does not have the right to know it. Not everybody has the right to everything. That's why we say things. People ask us questions, and we may respond with, "Ain't none of your business." What was she doing there? Ain't none of your business. I remember, not in this parish, many, many years ago, I was at a parish where the diocesan psychologist showed up at our church. And, at a staff meeting, someone said, "Hey, we saw Dr. So-and-so here. What was he doing here?" Well, that's none of your business what he was doing here. Well, who was he seeing? That's really none of your business. Oh, you don't have a right to know that. So,
I
and
think we've kind
especially
of,
in 20, go ahead.
no, go ahead, finish your thought.
No, and especially in the sacrament in 2490, it's explicitly talks about the seal of confession. One of the things we do as priests is keep secrets. And that is never to be violated under any pretext. There's minutia in there. What's a direct violation? What's an indirect violation? But we take secrecy very, very serious. And so,
So
yeah, so.
for our friends that are living in Washington State,
Yeah.
who has now passed a state law that requires priests to expose things that are said in the sacrament of
Profession.
confession,
Yeah.
what advice would you give to Catholics that live? I mean, because in my mind, that's going to fundamentally change. Not only the relationship of the priest within the confessional, but how the lay people approach the sacrament. I might be hesitant to say everything I'm supposed to say, because I think that there may be a chance that, Father so and so may be called to the carpet on it.
Well, the first thing I would say to the peoples is that you're supposed to hold your priest to the precepts of the church. That if a priest reveals directly, especially a direct violation, whether it's the law or not, he is automatically excommunicated. So any priest, if someone says, listen, this is pro, any priest says to anybody, I'll hear your confession, but if I hear something that I have to reveal, I would never go to him, and I would report him to the diocese. So this is one of those situations where we say to the government, you can't tell us how to, you do whatever you have to do, and we will do whatever we have to do. Do not keep, encourage people to go to confession, and then encourage your priest to be brave. You better prepare yourself. Now, I don't think they're going to, we'll see if they enforce it. And if they do, this is a perfect chance again for the church to show her resolve. Bring it, and we will fight you. We will not give in. And we can do a better job of that. You know, we this is our chance again to tell the government, you can't tell us how to practice our religion. We have civil rights, we have religious rights. And even if, God forbid, a bishop would say, no, you're going to have to testify. Even tell that bishop, listen, I've answered to God on this. I took vows. I took vows. And the vows do not extend to breaking my vows, even if you ask me to. You know, there's a great scene in the movie Glory. Have you ever seen that movie Glory? It's one of the best movies ever made, I think. And but there's a scene in there where a general tells a colonel to fire on some innocent people. I need your soldiers to fire. And he goes, I will not give it. That's a civilian. You'll do it. That is a direct order. And he answers back, it is an immoral order, and I'm not bound to obey it. And then he says, well, then I guess you're going to come up on court martial. Now that's where the analogy breaks down, because the corporal gave in. Not because he'd be court martialed, we're going to take his troops from him. But as priests, we have to, you know, this is a perfect chance for priests in Washington state to simply say, bring it. I will not obey. I will not comply. And
And
Catholics too, to stop voting
I
for
think,
these idiots.
yeah, well, there's that too, yeah.
Yeah.
But I think we as the laity have to continue to put faith in the vows that our priests have undertaken, and to know that they're going to do what the church has commissioned them to do.
Yeah. Yeah, and if you allow me a little transparency here, I would even go further. I would point to all the Catholics in the pews in Washington. If you voted for these people who support this law, you should go to confession. You're the problem. We should rise up. There's, you know, it's one thing to fight the enemy from without, but now we have the enemy within. That's even worse. We can't clean our own house. A house divided will not stand. There's nothing. I remember as a when I was for five years, no, 3 years, I was a head soccer coach. And there was nothing better to walk into a field to see the other team and notice how unorganized, how divided they were. And I would say, it doesn't matter, we're going to win this game. I got a good chance of winning this game, even if we're not the same athletes. They are divided. Anyway, I'm gonna get off my soapbox.
Yeah, no. So I guess that kind of gets right into the very next section here. And again, another one we could probably spend a whole lot of time with on the use of social media.
Oh my goodness.
I think
Yeah.
we all probably are guilty of not being respectful of the truth and bearing false witness for some of the
Yeah.
things that we say on social media. And I think it's because we have the, I'm using air quotes, protection of the digital isolation
Yeah.
that leads people to say things, I think, on social media that they would never say to another human being face to face.
Yeah, not just that, but the temptation, because social media is now has the technology to just lie and have a I saw a politician's image saying things that he did not say, and it was very convincing. Wow, look at that. It's so easy to draw up a picture of Trump doing something And it looks, wow, we can't even trust it anymore. And you're right. What people say in the comments, in air quotes, in the comments, that they would never be able to say face to face, and it's so easy. There's etiquette online, and I think when it comes to adultery and lying, social media has made it so easy. There's all kinds of creative ways now to commit adultery and lie and gossip, to get your to satisfy your own agendas and your own sinful inclinations.
And I think
So yeah, we're in a whole brave new world.
it's going to be just exacerbated by the further and the more reach that artificial intelligence has in our secular world.
Yeah, so if I could t share an example, are you a fan of Pints with Aquinas?
Yes, I love Matt Frad.
Okay, but he usually has people on there that are sympathetic to our side of the religious spectrum, converts and maybe not Christians, and even Orthodox Jews. But did you see the interview he had with Dennis Prager?
No, I missed that one.
Oh, it's that's the one time that Matt Frad got into a knockdown, drag out debate with him,
Wow.
because Dennis Prager, anybody can go look at it, justified porn, that it was not adultery, because and even animation that involved minors, and Matt Frad called him. He goes, "That's despicable. That's despicable." But even an Orthodox Jew, and I'm not. This is not gossip nor slander, because I saw it myself. And I was so proud of Matt Frad, because most times if you're the host, you want to be,
Congenial.
congenial with your guest who went out of their way to come on your. And he went right at me. He goes, "That's despicable."
I'm gonna have to go
But
look that one
if,
up.
yeah, go, yeah, look up easy. Go to YouTube and say Dennis Prager versus Matt Frad. And, because Matt Frad's, I mean, Dennis Prager is a pretty conservative guy, and he has his own Prager University. He's pretty sympathetic towards Christian ethos, but he has been seduced by, by a bad anthropology, and even he has a he. I read his commentary on the deck on the first five books, the Pentateuch. What do Jews call the Pentateuch? The first five books,
A Torah.
the Torah. Yeah, and yeah.
Yeah,
So
that's
when he
scary.
doesn't have Jesus, who says if you look at a woman with lust, you commit adultery. I know that's not, but this whole thing, section six talks about truth, beauty, and
Yeah,
sacred
that's a
art,
great segue.
and that art is supposed to lead us to the truth of God. And when especially art of nudes became seductive, then the body became a thing to use, and now art is just weird. Modern art is just ugly, and they pay money for it.
It's baffling.
They splash, and art used to be a place where the church, religious Christianity thrived, because it meant to make the seen, the unseen seen, the visible invisible visible. Go visit an art department on any college campus. You will find sexually confused leftist, Marxist, radical, pot smoking. What the heck happened? They got tenure. That's what happened. They got tenure, and they're set up for life, and all I have to do is splash something on a canvas. And
But
art has
that
now become,
leads then to the question of that we often get that we as Catholics often are criticized of is our admiration, our worship of statues and icons and pictures in our homes and
Well,
in our
icon,
churches.
and what is the difference between an icon and an idol? They make. The secular world makes art not an icon, but an idol.
Yeah.
Because an icon points to something beyond it. An idol is the image itself. Yeah, and a statue, that's why Protestants don't get it, because a statue of a Blessed Mother points to a reality beyond. That's what the body does, makes that which is invisible visible. But if there's no such thing as love, truth, or beauty, why not? Whatever, your beauty is my beauty. Now they'll say that they don't believe that. They'll say that, especially the my body, my choice people. I wouldn't have, I use this all the time, when someone says, if you don't want to have an abortion, if you don't like abortion, don't have one. And I'll remind them, that's what people said in 1860 about slavery. Hey, if you don't like a slave, you don't have one. Don't tell me what I can do with mine. My slave, my choice. Or they'll even say, hey, I don't believe in slavery, but I can't tell you what to do with your property. Well, no one would buy that
It's a
anymore.
cop out.
And no one would buy that anymore. It is. It's a sign of cowardice. Because what people want, this all leads back to the same thing. All what people want is sex without consequences. They want, they want eroticism without consequence. They want, because when you channel the erotic urge, it points to union with another person, marriage, children, and the creator. Can't have that to the secular world. It has to lead back to you as where they idolize themselves. And all you have to do is go to a YouTube video and look at Taylor Swift and watch the crowd just become emotional, just bowing down. It's un and they will pay their tithe. Because when we were young, I used to go to rock concerts and we paid 20 bucks to get in, 16 bucks, 300, 1500 bucks.
It's ridiculous now.
Yeah,
But
and they're
that,
just, go ahead.
yeah, no, I was gonna say that just kind of highlights really the whole point of this in paragraph 2502, where it talks about sacred art being true and beautiful, evoking and glorifying in faith and adoration the transcendent mystery of God. And I think that has to be at the forefront of for all of us, especially us Catholics, that when we look at art in any way, shape, form, or fashion, or any kind of whatever genre we're looking at, if it is not pointing to evoking and glorifying the transcendent mystery of God, then it's not necessary.
Yeah, once you lose a faith in God, then you're loose. Where does it point to now? It's got to point back to yourself. What's that artist? I can't think of his name. He died in a car accident because he was an alcoholic. They made a movie about him. Just walk up to a huge canvas and just start splashing things, splice, and people would, they made a movie about it.
I can't. Yeah, I got no idea.
Okay, was it?
I'm not a big art fan. Emery probably knows, but I don't.
Henry Mollett, Pollock? Yeah,
Jackson Pollock.
that's him. So you do know who that is.
I know the name, but that doesn't mean I know
Jackson
anything.
Pollock. Yeah, he just. People paid him commission thousands of dollars from the splashes, but he was a hopeless alcoholic. He treated his wife like garbage, was an adulterer, and then ran himself off the road with other people.
Tragic.
It is tragic. It is tragic.
That's actually one of the, it's one of the things that that I love about Magnificat. I get the Magnificat every month, and there's always one or two great images, paintings that were done by a number, any number of artists, but there's always a commentary associated to either the cover artwork or piece of artwork in the back, and every bit of it fits right into this, definition of sacred art. But I'm not any kind of art historian or art junkie or anything like that. So reading those commentaries, I always find them interesting because there's things that in the commentary that they discuss that I don't always pick up in the painting, hidden meanings, layers of things that are put into the background or whatever the case may be, that have meaning and point to a specific piece of our faith.
Man, I guess we can go on and on, but I remember I went to a Catholic college, and I remember the philosophy and theology teachers pointing to the art department and saying, "Well, the Department of Art, they enjoy a certain autonomy." What? They sort of, because there's no set curriculum. What is art? What should people know? Because philosophy and theology has an objective, truth, beauty, goodness that leads to a person. Well, when that art doesn't have that, it becomes a tool for whatever your political, religious. I remember back in the early 2000s, maybe it's mid 2000, 2007, 2008, atheists were making cartoons, very good cartoons. And I can't remember what those name of those books were, but they had an agenda. So I like political cartoons because that in one little cartoon it can encapsulate more than what a whole article. That's why we need art. That's why we need comedians. And I know we're going on and on about this, but just in the past few years, comedians have become what they should, and that is they're philosophers. And they speak truth to power. Now, for decades since the 70s, every comedian would make fun of the church and God and, George Carlin, listen to him. But now comedians have so much to make fun of when it comes to the alphabet mafia. And to now, one guy goes, he's so glad that racial jokes are great again, that it's not just white men that are being mocked, but all the culture. A good comedian will make fun of everybody.
Everybody.
I would never watch South Park because they were always just mocking the most unbelievable. They're mocking Christianity. But they were a cartoon and they're comedians, so that's what we do, and no one's gonna condemn them. I mean, it's terrible. Now they're turning on the left, and some of the South Park stuff has been very, very telling, and wow, because there's so much to make fun of, so much to mock on the left. Anyway.
We almost need a like similar to our National Eucharistic revival that's really kind of finishing up this summer. We almost need a revival of sacred art in our schools and universities. That's just my
I
kind
hear
of my
you.
thoughts.
Yeah, because the art department, it's amazing because the last, thinking about that now. I had my own school in Waco, and our art teacher was an Episcopalian. And then she said something, and we had to let her go. And then we hired a Catholic who it was, she was single, and then next thing you know, it was scandalous. And then at the high school, the art teacher was a Disciples of Christ kind of liberal. I mean, even you're right, we have to decide who is going to be teaching our kids about sacred art. What is art for? With Christ in mind, we're going to have Catholic art classes. And for so much, the church is kind of compromised to Protestantism and then secularism. And then we find out we paint ourselves into a corner. Here, I give you an example. I just found out this yesterday that Georgetown University, Jesuit oldest Catholic college in the country, has a center for Islamic studies. Why would a Catholic have? Because do you think that a Muslim mosque or university would have a center for Catholic studies?
Yeah, absolutely not.
Why are you kidding? Who you want to be welcoming? Well, that's Center for Islamic Studies. That's not Christian. That's not true. Why are we? What has happened? And do you think that bishop over there, whatever that is in Washington, D.C., is going to say anything about that or call them down on it? Or the Jesuits? What the heck's wrong with them?
And
They have a,
and
and
if
then
they
they have
made,
a, oh, go ahead.
I was gonna say, if they made any kind of announcement about how they were gonna shut down this Islamic study center, whatever it's called,
Or gender studies.
the media would excoriate them.
I mean, that's what has to happen.
Yeah,
We are
we
here
got to
because of
stand up and
Rocky.
start being
Yeah.
and be a little more
Martyred.
brave. Yeah.
Yeah, because if you even have in the art department start making images of Muhammad,
Oh yeah.
are they going to allow that? Are they going to allow, you know, like, are they going to
There was
allow the
a
burning of the Quran as an artistic gesture?
remember the cartoonist in Dallas a few years ago that made the cartoon of Muhammad, and the Muslim world just got flipped on its head and
Not
went
flipped on it. They
berserk.
called for his head. That's a death penalty. And
Anyway.
are they gonna? Because become in Muslim world, you know, if you become Christian, that's the death penalty.
They will
So
search you up.
yes, truth is under attack in our own institutions.
Amen. Amen. Hey,
Amen.
folks, that's gonna have to wind us up here for this episode of What Would Father Say? Kind of a teaser. We're doing an interview with Miss Jacqueline Wright, who is the new principal over at Holy Trinity Catholic High School. So we'll have to ask her about the art department at Holy Trinity Catholic High School as part of our
I
school
don't know who
spirit
they have a
program that we got.
department,
Yeah,
but
well,
probably
yeah,
is
I'm
a
using air
plantation.
quotes department. Art department. But anyway,
Yeah.
thanks everybody for tuning in. We'll pick back up here next week. Actually, we'll jump into the Ninth Commandment as we're winding down our catechetical study of the Ten Commandments. And Father, would you leave us with a blessing, please?
Heavenly Father, in your spirit upon these listeners. May the grace be poured upon them to energize and stir up all the gifts of their baptism and confirmation. And may Almighty God bless you, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. All right,
Amen.
folks. Thanks a lot, and we'll see you next week.